Greetings. Well, welcome, everyone. I call this regular meeting of the Cambria Community Services District to order. I see that we have everybody here. So let us commence with the Pledge of Allegiance. So, Leah, if you could display the flag for us. Have we worked on how to do that yet? I'll tell you what, not to worry. Let's just do it with the flag that you've got there right now. So let us just go for it. So here we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everybody. And we have a quorum present, so we are official. First of all, just to the president's report, I don't have a lot to say, but I do wish to give some thanks and kudos to some people. First of all, I wish to thank, really express my great appreciation for the help and work that directors, Vice President Dean and Director Steidel did in helping to, and doing most of the work to prepare the articles for the Cambria CA. It was a series of articles going back. I think we did perhaps six of them, it seems to me, all explaining the whys and wherefores of the our state of affairs as we are now, and why it's important to why we're asking for the rate increase and why that's an important thing. So many thanks to you for doing all that hard work. I really appreciate it. And I think right now, if folks were to go out to the Cambria CA, the last time I looked, I haven't looked today, but they were showing all the entire series. So if you have any questions, I think that would probably be the first place to go. And then if those questions still aren't answered, you might check our district website where we have some more detailed information. The other thing, something that a little piece of news that happened yesterday is the water crews, they have a schedule where they go out and they test the valves in the water system to be sure they work. Because if there's ever a leak, sections of the system have to be isolated so that the leak can be fixed. So those valves have to be reliable and they have to work. So in the routine valve testing that went on yesterday over in Marine Terrace, at the corner of Kerwin and Marlboro, during the test, one of the valves actually failed, which is why we test them, because we don't want them to fail when we really need them to work. So we had a failure on that valve. As a result, the entire water crew was out there from 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon until 2 in the morning to repair that. And during that period, they had to isolate the residents on Kerwin, Marlboro, and Lambton in order to do that repair. But they had all kinds of heavy equipment out there. I saw it from a distance. It was pretty impressive. So thanks very much to the water crew. That's a 12-hour stint. Mr. D'Enzo, it looks like he's fully awake this morning, but or this afternoon. But I can imagine that must have been a real challenge. But many thanks to the crew for that hard work. And also a reminder to everyone else that we do have these routine maintenance schedules that are incredibly important in order to maintain this infrastructure in a reliable way so that we can always have the water that we need. Then the other thing is, I need to let everybody know, this is mostly directed to our friends out in the audience here, there are 8 of you now, and anyone who might be watching this later, just to give you a little heads up and a feeling for how next week's hearing will transpire, how that's going to look. So very briefly, at a certain point in our regular meeting, I will open the hearing, this official hearing for the 218 protest. And during that hearing, people can make verbal commentary if they wish. And also during the hearing is when we will be receiving the any written protests that are still that people still wish to turn in. After the commentary has been received and everyone has turned in their protests, the hearing will be closed. And then we will commence the count. And then while the count is going on, we will, depending on how things go, we'll probably simply resume our meeting while we wait for the results of the count. But to give you a little clearer idea as to how this is actually going to look for those of you who might wish to go to attend the hearing, I've asked GM Weigel to very briefly describe for you how this process is going to look. I thought it better coming from him because it's more likely to be correct as opposed to me telling you. So, GM Weigold, as part of the president's report, would you be so kind as to let people know? There he is. Let people know what they can expect if they were to go to the Vets Hall next week, Thursday.
Thanks, President Howell. I'm sitting in with our brand new board secretary to work through a couple of issues because this is her very first board meeting. And so I'm just off of camera here, sitting alongside in the conference room. So I want to welcome Leah Riedahl. I've introduced her in my GM report next week that you'll see. But she's actually a returning CCSD employee staff member, as she was the board secretary and district clerk in 2000 to 2001. And she's a Cambria resident. As it relates to the Prop 218 hearing, the board and the public should know that this will be a meeting via Zoom, so that it will be like any other meeting, with the exception that we will have an additional location at the Vets Hall. That's where our protests and public comment may also be taken. So we will be monitoring the hearing and the protest procedures in accordance with CCSD Resolution 14-2009. Now, if you want to know where that is located and can be found on the CCSD website under the Prop 218 page. And to find that, you simply need to go to the carousel at the very top of the page where the picture is, and arrow to the right, two clicks, and just click on the picture of Prop 218, and all the related documents are at the bottom. So we will be holding the hearing and the protest procedures in accordance with that resolution. We will be able to take public comment via Zoom or in person at the Vets Hall. We'll have a laptop set up down there so the public can stand in front and make their comment to the board. We will also, in accordance with that resolution, have a local city clerk who will be our third party overseeing the protest procedures. One reminder to those in the public that may still want to drop off a protest form. As it gets close to the meeting time, we request that you come to the Vets Hall to drop off your protest form if you're going to make a protest at the very last minute. We'll be, of course, checking our Dropbox here at the CCSD office, and we will have picked up the mail already for that day. But any last-minute protests, we encourage people to come to the Vets Hall and drop off your protest form. Pending any questions, President Halleck, that concludes my quick little presentation.
Thank you, GM Weigold. We'll wait for questions from the audience during public comment, see if we need to explain further. Finally, yes, a very warm welcome to Leah Riedahl. So happy to have you here. This is my second time working with Leah. We met last week to prepare the agenda for this. But welcome. I hope you will find your time with us as unstressful as it can be. So I think we are ready. Oh, the other one, last thing I want to tell you for today, this is how the events will occur today. As you know, we have after this meeting, there will be a special meeting that we needed to call in order to deal with some issues that have come up from the Coastal Commission. And so what will happen is at the point when we adjourn this meeting, there will be a 15-minute break And then the special meeting will start after that. And those of you in the public who wish to make comment prior to, and this will be, the special meeting will open, we will take public comment, and then we will adjourn to closed session after that. So those of you who wish to make public comment for that meeting, you will need to rejoin, just like you did just now. You'll need to join that meeting. It will be a separate Zoom session. So you'll need to locate the meeting announcement and click on the Zoom link that's provided there. So that will be then. So there will be the 15-minute break between meetings for those of us that need to run around the block and get a little exercise. So having said that, I think we're ready to commence with our regular business. So the first thing we have on our agenda today is board member communications. Do any members of the board have any short things they wish to say to each other or to the public? Oh, yes, Director Steidel.
Thank you, President Howell. I just wanted to add my kudos to the water folks. I was intimately aware with all of this because it was just a couple of blocks from where I am. And I was coming back from a social engagement about 9:15 last night. And I thought, oh, I'm interested by these lights. And I actually went up and stood at this very large hole, a 10 by 10, 8-foot deep hole that several men were working up to their knees almost in mud and balancing within to try to cut four pipes with a very large diamond circulating saw. And it was fascinating to see them lift that entire mechanism encased with concrete out of there. And then to the side, they had all the new equipment established to be able to put into place. But they had to put down some stabilizer underneath it to be able to put the equipment in because of the water, which they were continually pumping out of, which was runoff. So my kudos not only to our own staff, but to the, I don't know the correct term, but there's kind of an emergency response team that is available that can be brought in because of the specialized equipment that they have and the experience. And it was a fascinating process to see. I was overwhelmed by the size of what they were dealing with. And I left at 11 o'clock and I knew that they still had a bunch of hours ahead of them. So my respects, gentlemen. All of you did a phenomenal job. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Director Seidel. Any other board member wish to make a comment or any? Okay. We're ready then to move on to the commission reports. And let us have the pros chairman's report. Before we begin, I think it's appropriate, Mr. Carmel, we do need to allow public comment on this, do we not? Yeah. Okay. I that looked like a nod.
Yes,
yeah. Thank you. So I think what we'll do is let me take the public comment first so that if any questions there are from the from any of the attendees, there would be an opportunity to answer those questions. So that we'll go to the audience for public comment, and I'll let you know again, just to let all the attendees out there know who's out there with them. There's 8 of you all together, and I will just read the list. Alex Handlers, of course, we all know. Alan Dean, Anthony, Christine Heinrichs, Crosby and Laura Swartz, Elizabeth Bettenhausen, Gordon Heinrichs, and Michael Calderwood. So welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. Do we have any questions or commentary relative to the PROS Commission? Do we have any public comment? Seeing none, I'll give it a minute. Leah, do we have any written comment on PROS?
No, we do not.
Thank you, Leah. All right, and seeing no public comment, we'll go directly to the PROS Commission, PROS Chairman's report.
And President Howell, I just spoke with Steve Niffen, and he's running a couple of minutes behind, but he'll be with us in 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, what let's do then is we'll kind of jump around a little on the agenda here. Let's continue to our general public comment, and then we'll come back to the PROS commission report after we finish the general public comment period. So again, this is your chance to speak, and it'll be on items that are not on the agenda. So I want to remind you, if it's an agenda item, then you have to please withhold your comment until the appropriate time. I see Christine Heinrichs wishing to make a comment. So yes, Leah, if you'd bring her in, please.
Thank you. And thank you for scheduling a special meeting after this one about the notice of violation from the Coastal Commission. In the spirit of your award for transparency, I hope you will post the notice of violation on the district website. For now, it is available to the public at protectcambria.com. However, the special meeting will be a closed session, depriving the public of any airing of the issues the Coastal Commission raises. Please hold a public discussion by board members to inform the public, then reach the clever solution to these violations by resolving them and complying with the law and responsible government. One of the requirements is to retract all active will serve letters. The district responded to my public records request that it does not have such a list. Make one, not only for the Coastal Commission and your relationship with that agency, but also for the holders of those will serve letters. As the commission said in its notice of violation, such letters give applicants false hope that they will get a building permit. Instead, the county and the commission go through the permitting process, concluding with the permits being denied. I hope General Manager Weigold is at least telling the applicants that the sham permits the district has approved will never turn into real permits and allow them to build. You are elected officials at a time of coastal imperatives. Your legacy can be that you saved these precious resources. Please take action today to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Okay, now we have Elizabeth Bettenhausen. So please bring Ms. Bettenhausen in, Leah.
Thank you very much. The other day I was sitting at my computer, which is approximately 12 and a half feet from a smoke alarm. I was merrily doing whatever I was doing. And all of a sudden I got scared. I won't use my language. I got scared vertical out of my chair. It was beeping like you wouldn't believe at a volume that was more than sufficient. I immediately checked around. There was no smoke coming from anywhere. There was no carbon monoxide mistakenly identified by my smoke alarm. And so I finally calmed down enough. My pulse reduced to approximately 130. And I calmed down enough to call the fire department at their non-emergency number. The fire department of CCSG graciously arrived within half an hour to come and check the smoke alarm. I had asked whether it's possible that an insect triggered it, and the guy said, "You're ahead of us." And so they came out and checked. And they could not find what I think was the cremated insect, but they assured me that that's probably what induced the screaming of my smoke alarm. I want to urge people, when you have a smoke alarm, a 10-year one such as I, that will last me beyond my life, please regularly get it checked, either by an electrician or by the fire department. Yes, cockroaches, termites, and itty-bitty tiny ants can trigger this. But I urge you to get protected because we've got something coming up in the agenda that's very interesting regarding fire. I also want to say I'm looking forward to this meeting because on three different agenda items, you take up immensely important financial issues and you're going to discuss them separately, not with an overview. I think this is one thing you might want to consider in your future agendas, that such issues should be discussed in the same breath, because then you can look more astutely at the implications for the long term for ratepayers and others in this town. I look forward very much to this meeting. I found the Coastal Commission this morning absolutely spectacular in the way they handled a very controversial issue of the Poseidon desalination plant. But I want to say that I thank Ms. Heinrichs for her summary just now of what is a reasonable expectation from your closed session. And I look forward very much to your meeting a week from today, when I'm sure District Council Carmel will report to us public what you did at this meeting this afternoon at a special call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. I see Tina Dickerson. Tina, would you please join us?
Thank you very much, President Howell. I am actually much more interested in the Coastal Commission meeting today, which I've been attending, than I am this meeting, because I find it to be so very disappointing. I write to you, members of the board. I send you information that you haven't even at the point in time received from the general manager regarding several issues, not a single response. I just really have to wonder what you're really doing as directors, and in really somehow giving a sense of overseeing the general manager overseeing staff. I've sent you all of the emails that were really troubling about the internal goings on and the disrespect for members of staff, including the general manager, that were shocking to me. They should be shocking to all of you. What are you doing about it? That's what I'd like to know. And in the second, and in the closed session item today, I really have a problem with that. How do you come up with existing litigation? And this, it would be more directed to Mr. Carmel through you, President Howell. Existing litigation, California Coastal Commission versus the CCSD. I contacted the commission, NOV, Ellie Oliver, who wrote the NOV, she said she's not aware of any litigation. How can you make this decision before you've ever come to the public or gone into closed session to discuss the NOV that was received by Mr. Weigold on the 19th of April? How do you do that legally? I've brought it to the attention of the DA's office, and I'm awaiting a response, and maybe Mr. Carmel will get a response. I don't know if that's happened yet. Now, I did miss the first 3 or 4 minutes of your meeting, so I don't know if something was said about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickerson. That seems to be everyone. Ms. Heinrichs, your hand is still up, but I'm assuming that you just, yeah, thank you. Okay, this is last call for public comment. Last call for general public comment. Last going once, going twice. Leah, do we have any written general public comment?
No, we do not.
Thank you, Leah. So we're now ready for the next agenda item here. Let's see, is Mr. Niffen is still not with us yet? Mr. Weigold, I think that would be... Mr. Weigold, he will join us just as soon as he is able. Is that true?
That's correct.
Okay, good. I'll just wait for him to show up on the screen then. So let's move to the consent agenda. That's item 5. And again, I will start by calling for public comment on these items. Yes, okay, I see Elizabeth Bettenhausen. So please, Dr. Bettenhausen, please go forward.
Thank you very much, President Howell. I would hope that you would pull the item on Merck out of just general consent. I think there's a major issue here, and I want to state what I believe it is. You will notice in your resolution that you have two different dates when the agreement is supposed to go into effect. So one of them didn't get changed, I assume. I don't know which one is right, but you've got two that conflict on the agreement. But I want to point out something else. The argument is fairly strong in this item that it is the consultation that's needed among the various agency representatives in order for the adequate biological study to be done to submit to the county planning to get the coastal permit application complete, et cetera. I want to point out that we have for over a year been hearing about this TAC team, TAC for Technical Advisory Committee team. And we have not heard exactly who's on it for sure. We have not heard any report of the substance of a meeting unless I have been asleep or absent. And if so, I apologize for not hearing the extensive reporting on this. But we do not know whether or not this TAC team believes that extra work still needs to be done that wasn't completed by Ms. Cleveland. I think once again, even though we have some specificity in language, we have insufficient information in the reporting of what's happening outside of these meetings. I do not want to sound like I'm complaining, but on the other hand, if I did not, then I would not be speaking the truth, which is one of my things to do. I am complaining because I want to know what's going on in utilities. I'm not faulting them. I want to know what's going on. And Mr. President, as you know, and as Vice President, I today had to remind the utilities people again of my inquiry. And I got information that is not published on their reports on the website. And I did that, President Howell, because you told me I should check with them first rather than speak up here. So I'm going to not say, tell anybody what I was asking about. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Yes, Christine Heinrichs.
Thank you. And I'm not sure what you found funny about that, President Howell, but I'll take it that we're all cheerful and mirthful. I also join Dr. Bettenhausen in asking to pull the Merck contract from the consent agenda for discussion. I advise the board to please table this item permanently. The district claims it lacks money to pay for necessary repairs and upgrades to the water and sewage treatment infrastructure, yet it continues to pay for more and more studies and consultant reports on the S. The board even hired a consultant to advise the district how to get the CDP some years ago. It ignored his advice, but still, you must have enough information. The staff has claimed that the CDP application would be completed years ago. Now we find only 25% of the required biological surveys, which were begun 5 or 6 years ago, was done. Did no one notice? Years later, studies are still not done. Now the district is under pressure from the Coastal Commission, which is the eventual arbiter of this CDP, to meet more basic standards. The board should direct its attention to resolving these issues before turning its attention to issues that have already been ignored for years. The district is like a defrauded lover in a Nigerian romance scam. Just one more payment and the millions of dollars he's going to inherit will be freed. Last month, another $40,000 for groundwater studies. Just one more check for $85,860, and our water problems will be solved. This is your chance, board. If the district was serious about getting this permit, the application would have been completed years ago. Stop throwing money at it. Direct staff to mothball the EWS, SWF, WRF, and stop now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Is there any further public comment here? This is regarding the consent agenda. Okay, do we have any written comment regarding the consent agenda, Leah? I can't see you, so I'm not sure.
I'm sorry, President Hall, can you repeat that?
Oh, do we have any written public comment relative to the consent agenda?
No, sir.
Okay.
There, President Tal, there is Gordon Heinrichs is the last one to talk for public comment.
Okay, Gordon. All right. I didn't see his hand. So, yes, Gordon, please go ahead. Are you there?
Gordon, you need to unmute yourself.
Thank you.
Welcome, Gordon.
Yes, thank you. President Tal, I'm talking about the consent agenda to the extent that I was going to talk about the 5.B in the Lemurk contract that should be pulled for looking at in a little more detail based upon, I don't think we have a lot of information on the previous Cleveland contract that indicated there's 25% completion of the scope of the work. And along with this, there's a comments that should be, that are included in the current contract that the district that relates to the performance served under this agreement shall maintain adequate records and provide a sufficient detail to permit an evaluation of the services. The question is, how much is the district plan on paying Cleveland for not doing 75% of the job that could be applied to this contract instead of just giving this willy-nilly to the new contractor without resolving that situation? And then the other is the on the Merck contract, it says the will require additional construction work when the permit is approved for the extension of the lagoon discharge pipeline to the bank of the San Simeon Creek. Looking in the documentations, I don't seem to see any budget for that being included. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Heinrichs. All right, I see any further public comment on the consent? This I see on the board, but we'll get back to you in just a second. Anybody else in the public? This is your last chance. All right. Okay, the public has had its say, so we are ready to thank you, everybody, for letting us know your thoughts on this. We'll start with Director Gray, followed by Director Steidel. The issue here is, do you... Let me guide us through this a little bit. Let me kind of do it this way. First of all, do any of you want to pull any of these items, of these two items? Does anybody? Okay. All right. Director Farmer, you wish to pull an item?
Mr. President Hal, I'd like to pull item 5B, if you don't mind.
All right. Item 5B we'll take up after we finish with the consent agenda. So any further discussion of 5B, let's wait on that. So yes, now coming back to the board. So first Director Gray and then Director Steidel.
Thank you, President Hal. I had a question actually about 5B. I wasn't requesting pulling it, but maybe just to circle back to Dr. Bettenhausen's comment, she referred to a discrepancy in dates, and I could not find that. I just wanted to find out what that was in case it was something we'd have to amend in our process.
That's a very good point. I was wondering the same thing. So let's go. Let me take Director Steidel first, and then we'll see about the dates. Is that the same issue? Okay. So Mr. Carmel, could you determine what dates Dr. Bettenhausen was referring to?
I didn't follow the comment, so no, I can't.
Okay, well, let's go back to Dr. Bettenhausen. I see you're still there. Would you please, if you'd be so good as to unmute yourself and thank and let us know again what the dates were that you saw there was a difference?
If you look at the agreement that you're going to approve, at the top of the agreement, it says an April date, and then later in the paragraph or the next paragraph, it says a May date.
So,
and I'm sorry, I don't have it right in front of me. Oh, no, yes, I do. On page 9 of your agenda, the agreement with Merck is said to begin on April 14th, 2022, and on May 12th, 2022.
That's not the same thing I have. Oh, I see what you're, yeah.
On page 9.
Yeah, I see now, yeah. So the initial sentence, everybody, where it says this agreement for consultant services is made and effective as of May 12th. Mm-hmm. Then when you go down on item number 1, the term, the agreement shall commence on April 14th. So is that, I don't see that those are necessarily contradictory, but Mr. Carmel, do we need to correct those or are we as?
I appreciate Dr. Bettenhausen's perspective and perception. We should change it to May 12th.
Okay.
Sometimes the agreements do start earlier than their date, but I don't believe that was the case here.
So we're going to amend if we can. I don't even know if we need to do this with a motion. I think we just do it.
No, you don't need to do it with a motion. So in section one, the term, we'll change April 14th to May 12th.
Okay, change to May 12th. Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen, for finding that. So, Director Farmer.
Yes, thank you, President Hell. I think the reason that it says April 14th is because that this item originally came before the board, and due to some problems with regard to the wording of the agreement, we sent it to the R&I committee as opposed to approving it on that date. So I think that's why that date is there. And then the R&I committee addressed it on the 20th, I believe, of April. So that's why that date exists.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Well, let's finish with the consent here, and then we'll get right to item 5B. So right now, the only item is item A on the consent, which is the consideration of the amendment to the 2021 Fire Hazard Fuel Reduction Program Agreement. So do we have a motion to accept?
I move the consent agenda be accepted.
Okay, it's been moved by Director Gray to adopt the consent agenda. Is there a second? I see, okay. Second by Vice President Dean. And then we are ready for the roll call on this, unless someone wants to debate it. Seeing none. All right. I think we're ready for the roll call, Leah. So would you be so kind?
Okay. Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Okay. Vice President Dean, aye.
Director Gray?
Aye.
Okay. Aye.
Okay.
Director Stael?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Director Farmer?
Aye.
President Howell?
Aye. Okay, so we have five ayes. The motion passes unanimously. And we are now ready to commence with the item 5B. So for this one, as we're doing full discussion, I think I'm going to ask General Manager Weigold to present this. But before I do want to remind everyone that this item has been thoroughly discussed by the Finance Committee, and it is, the R&I Committee, and it is in the R&I Committee's report. So those of you, especially I'm referring to those of you in the audience, if you're concerned about this, you might wish to read the analysis from the R&I committee on this. All right, so General Manager Weigel, will you go ahead and present this?
Yes, President Howell, agenda item 5B is discussion and consideration of approval of an agreement for consultant services with Kevin Merck Associates, LLC, for environmental consultation for the water reclamation facility and adoption of resolution 29-2022, amending the fiscal year 2021-2022 budget. Staff recommends that the Board of Directors approve this agreement and adopt the resolution 29-2022, amending the fiscal year budget. We have District Engineer D'Angelo standing by for any, and also Melissa Bland for any additional comments and questions.
Okay, thank you. Let us see. Do we have any comments or questions? Public comment has already had a shot on this, but I will take comment from the public. Anyone who has not spoken on this item that wishes to speak, now is your chance. So, all right. I'm going to then, we can assume that everyone that wanted to speak on this item has had their say. So I'm back to the board now. So board members, for your discussion. Yes, Vice President Dean.
I would just like to say that this did come before the R&I committee, and every one of the questions that members of the board and the public had at the time that we had this on the agenda in April was thoroughly explained and discussed by both our utilities manager, Ray D'Enzo, and our program manager, Melissa Bland, and it was a very thorough discussion, and I just wanted to mention that. And anybody who wants to hear that discussion again, that was recorded.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Dean. Good advice. Anybody else, any director wish to speak? I think we need a motion to adopt. Go ahead. First, Director Farmer and then Director Gray.
Thank you, President Howell. I think some of the comments that I would like to make have already been made by members of the community. I think I can understand the concern of folks out there that pay pay the rates for water and wastewater, and their concern with regard to the fact that Ms. Cleveland did biological studies for 5 years, a little over 5 years for this community. She's paid $184,000, and yet now we find that only 25% of the scope of work was done. So we need this additional contract to be signed by Merck Associates to have more work done. And then there's going to be some additional work done by them with regard to construction once the so-called permit is approved. So I think this is real serious cause for, well, how much longer? We were hiring Merck, I believe, to work for 632 hours to continue doing biological work, but we have no idea what's going to happen after that. And it just seems like this is a process that's going, ongoing and continuing. We have no idea even when this permit is ultimately going to be satisfactorily and completely given to the planning department for their approval. And it just seems as if, like I say, this ongoing project here doesn't even seem to have an end in sight. That's my gut feeling here. Like we said, the permit application was turned in July of 2020. Ms. Cleveland has been worked for us for over 5 years on this, and just a small percentage of what needed to be done has gotten done. I feel as if not only are we getting an incomplete understanding of what's taking place, but it's somewhat discouraging as to how this is moving forward or not moving forward, as the case may be. And I'm a little bit reluctant to sign another contract with somebody.
Okay. Thank you, Director Farmer. I think we do need a motion before we go too much far. Yes, Director Gray.
No. In preface to my motion, okay, I do want to say, to sort of second the point that Vice President Dean made about the Standing Committee, the R&I Committee, one of the people who wanted this thing held over and examined by the Standing Committee, I want to not just salute the committee's work, but also to remind everybody here that the committees, which do meet obviously in open session, serve a very valuable function of going into details about some of these rather complicated issues of what is Section 7 and how does it relate to the other work that's been done by Cindy Cleveland and so forth. All that complicated stuff got aired in that committee, and the standing committees do this job, and they're available, they're on recording, and they're live, and if anybody's interested, they should listen to that, because the questions were answered. And I think it's to rehash everything now, or have to rehash everything now, goes against the whole idea of having the standing committees in part. So, having said that, I move that, and I'll get the wording right, that we approve the agreement with Kevin Merck Associates LLC for environmental consultation for the water reclamation facility and adoption, and that we adopt Resolution 29-2022, amending the fiscal year 2021-22 budget.
Thank you, Director Gray. Is there a second? Director Steidel, did you also wish to speak?
Yes, I appreciate, I second the motion, and I appreciate Director Farmer's position in this regard, or his perspective to it, but I would also caution that challenging the accomplishments of someone and repudiating their reputation for not accomplishing things, I think, is a very negative aspect. And we should find other ways to discuss things rather than to specify them to an individual.
Oh, thank you, Director Steidel. Melissa, you've had your hand up for a bit. I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Thank you, President Howell. I just wanted to clarify that Ms. Cleveland has served and continues to serve as the district's contract biologist for all utilities projects. So I can't exactly research the figure that Director Farmer just provided, but it likely includes compensation for projects that are completely unrelated to the WRF. And I believe today we've expended something close to $45,000 under her existing Section 7 contract.
Oh.
Clarify.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Bland. Yes, Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Howell. First off, I wasn't in any way, shape, or form dismissing the quality of the work or the quality of anything that Ms. Cleveland has done. All I was doing was quoting what it says here on page 8 of item 5B, how much of the original scope was completed by Cleveland Biological. Approximately 25% of the original scope was completed. I'm just repeating what is stated right here. Also, with regard to Ms. Cleveland, I noticed on page, this is on our agenda for April 14th, 2022, it states Ms. Cleveland's work, talks about what she's done and that she's going to be, her agreement, she's not extending her agreement with the CCSD, which is going to expire on June 30th of 2022. So that's, I'm just restating what is here in our agendas. As I say, I have no quarrel with the work that she's done. I'm just concerned about how much more work needs to be done. And I've already stated how I feel. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Do we have further debate on this? Seeing none, I have to assume you're ready for the question. So it's been moved and seconded that that we approve the agreement for consultant services with Kevin Merck Associates, LLC for environmental consultation for the Water Reclamation Facility, WRF, and adoption of Resolution 29-2022, amending the fiscal year 2021/22 budget. So we're ready for the roll call. Go ahead, Leah.
Sorry about that. Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Aye.
Director Farmer?
I don't believe I was the person that seconded this, but no.
Okay. Farmer, no. Okay.
President Howell?
President Howell, aye.
Aye. Director Seidel?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So it's Vice President Dean, I think, hasn't voted.
No, yet. I made the motion.
Oh,
okay. I called it. So like, I was the one that got missed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Director Gray.
Aye. Yeah, aye.
Okay. Okay. So we have four.
We'll get better at this.
That's all right. We'll get there. Four ayes and one nay. Director Farmer in dissent. The motion passes. Let us then move now to, I see Mr. Niffen is on board. So let us backtrack to the PROS Commission report. And again, now that Mr. Niffen is present, I'll also call for any public comment so that if he's anything that he can answer from the public, it would give him an opportunity. So folks out there in the audience, this is regarding the PROS Commission report. Do you have any comment or question for Mr. Niffen?
Do you want me to give my report first and then see if I stimulate any questions?
Yeah, we can go that way. Sure. Let's see what happens.
Okay. Well, in regards to the agenda, I see later on it's we've got discussion on our goals, which we're always a little negligent in being forthcoming with, but we think we're very clear. We're working on the skate park, we're working on the bathroom, and with those two items as our goals, that's what we're working on. The skate park, Mr. D'Enzo is working with the county doing that, which is awesome. We're excited. There are the matter at hand right now seems to be the bathroom and how they're going to mitigate that and work through that. So we'll see how that goes. So we're excited about that. The bathroom seems to be moving forward. That will probably be done in a time frame that is within all of our service here on this window. So that will be exciting. And then we're going to be able to start doing fun little projects, whatever anybody thinks is the next important move out there. We'll be able to at least try to figure out how we're going to finance and move that along. So those are two of our goals that are awesome. The third thing is the $20,000 that we're looking for, a little bit of direction that we were going to use for a master plan adjustment or whatnot. And so that I see as your agenda discussion later, and we'll be looking forward to that direction. Other than that, I think, one of the things, we got in a little bit of trouble this week because we had a discussion on bike trails and everybody started yapping away and violating the Brown Act. And I just want to, in regards to the bike trail thing that we got going, Kermit, one of the guys on our board, is into it. And they've got a group of guys that are into it. It's a little loosey-goosey. They're not formulated yet. They probably have more energy than they do actually structure. But I think what we're trying to say is that all of us are pretty positive on the concepts of more bike trails through town and working together. They think that it'll be a little easier than some of us that are inside of the loop know that it's going to be, as you work with all the different agencies trying to put that together. Don't be laughing at me, but now I feel like an old person saying, oh my God. But I'm excited. I think if they connect different parts of town with this bike trail, it's going to be super awesome. And I just keep referencing the Bob Jones Trail. Those of you that have seen the Bob Jones Trail, at one time we thought that was a crazy idea. And it's an awesome component to the community. So with that being said, I'd take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Niffen. Well, given that, and since Mr. Niffen is open for questions, back to the audience, I'll give you a shot here, and then the board. First from the audience, going once, going twice. Sorry about that. Hold on. Sorry. Okay, going three times. Nobody from the audience wishes to speak. So, yes, Director Farmer.
I just want to comment with regard to the bike trails. I think any of us that are spending any time out in the community, especially on the weekends, there are many people that are visiting here as well as people that live here, but especially people that are visiting here that are renting bikes. So we have three electric bike shops right here in town, and you see people riding bikes all over the place. I mean, literally. And to have bike trails would even add more to people being able to enjoy the community and everything that is out there with regard to nature and wherever. So it's a good thing moving forward with regard to pros investigating bike trails. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. All right, any further board commentary or questions or comments for Mr. Niffen? All right, seeing none, let us move forward then. Okay, so we are now ready for hearings and appeals. Was there a Vice President Dean, did you have something?
No, I was just saying thank you. Oh. And goodbye to Mr. Niffen. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay. So this is hearings and appeals, and this is a discussion and consideration of adoption of Resolution 27-2022, confirming the itemized report of water and wastewater standby or availability charges for collection on the county tax roll. Let us, Jim Weigel, could you present this, and then we'll have a public comment period.
Yes, President Howell. Agenda item 6A is discussion and consideration of adoption of Resolution 27-2022, confirming the itemized report of water and wastewater standby or availability charges for collection on a county tax roll. At the close of the public hearing, staff recommends that the board adopt this resolution confirming the itemized report of water and wastewater standby or availability charges so that the charges can be collected on the county tax roll. For further questions on this matter, Pam Duffield, our administrative department manager, is also standing by.
Thank you, Jim Weigold. Well, let's first start with the public. Do we have questions from the public regarding this matter? All right, seeing none, I'll give it just a quickie more. And Leah, do we have any written commentary or questions regarding this matter?
No written comment.
Thank you. All right, now let us go to the board. Board, fellow board members, do you have any comments or questions regarding this? All right, seeing none, I'll declare the hearing closed. And we are ready to commence. I'll entertain a motion to adopt resolution 27-2022, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, Director Steidel. Sorry. You're muted.
I am clicked before. I must have gone back and clicked it again, thinking I was unmuting. I move to adopt resolution 27-2022, confirming the itemized report of water and wastewater standby availability charges.
Oh, thank you. And I see a second by Vice President Dean. It's been moved and seconded to adopt resolution 27-2022, confirming the itemized report of water and wastewater standby or availability charges for collection on the county tax roll. Do we have any debate? Seeing none, we're ready for the roll call. So, Leah, would you please call the roll?
Yes, Director Steidel?
Aye.
Director Steidel, aye.
Good.
Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Vice President Dean, aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Director Farmer, aye. Director Howell, I'm sorry, Director Gray?
Aye.
McRae, aye. And President Howell?
Aye.
President Howell, aye.
Okay, the motion passes 5-0. Thank you, everybody. And we are now ready for our regular business. We will start with the discussion and consider. This is 7A, discussion and consideration of a report from the Board Ad Hoc Committee regarding emergency evacuation routes. And so let me see. I think, again, we'll start with GM Weigold to start the process and then and go from there. So GM Weigold, the floor is yours. Did he hear me?
So we got two of us on the unmute button here. Sorry about that. So agenda item 7A is discussion and consideration of a report from the Board Ad Hoc Committee regarding emergency evacuation routes. Staff recommends that the board discuss and consider this report of evacuation routes and support of grant applications, including Zone Haven, and provide direction to staff as deemed appropriate. Now, report ad hoc group of directors Dean and Gray are present here, and as well as Chief Hollingsworth for further presentation and Q&A.
Excellent. Thank you, GM Weigold. Let's see, who shall we start with? Let me start with Vice President Dean, and then she can kind of orchestrate as we go forward. How's that?
Okay. As you know, an ad hoc committee was formed of Director Gray and myself on April 19th, 2021, to work on the objective of identifying potential additional evacuation routes and capabilities and support needed relevant grant applications, including the recently awarded Zone Haven grant to the Fire Safe Council, and report results to the CCSD board. And this was for the 3-year goal of achieving community preparedness for wildfire and other emergencies. This committee has consulted with other individuals, including Cambria Fire Chief William Hollingsworth, CERT lead Craig Ufferide, and FireSafe Focus Group Coordinator David Pearson. We're still continuing more work on this committee, where we have developed evacuation brochures that will be available. And Chief Hollingsworth, I believe, has the completed evacuation brochures ready to screen share for you when we get a little further along in our report. We've also been working on how to get infirm and disabled taken care of during an evacuation event. We're coming up with a list of sites for them to register on to get help. Among them is ICE, which is a site that's called In Case of an Emergency. And this is a program that will enable first responders, such as paramedics, firefighters, and police officers, as well as hospital personnel, to connect the next of kin of the owner of a mobile phone to obtain support information or medical information during an evacuation, even if the mobile phone is not within a signal. Also, there's Smart 911, which a person can provide their medical information, and it's kept private until they actually call 911, and then it alerts medical emergency personnel of whatever their particular medical situation might be. And there's also reverse 911, which we all are aware of. On the subject of the evacuation route, our committee's been working with Dr. Cornelius Neroso from Cal Poly to identify new configurations of existing routes or development of new routes to improve the speed and safety of evacuation in major wildfire. And Director Gray has done extensive work with Dr. Neroso, and I'd like him to do that part of the presentation.
Okay. Director Gray.
No, thank you. Thank you, Vice President Dean and President Howell. Yes, as Vice President Dean said, I've been working on this specific topic of the evacuation routes for some time. And before I go on, I'm going to maybe do a little bit of a quick run through of our report that's in today's agenda. I did want to give a shout out to Dave Pearson, who is not here today. He's traveling, but if anyone was responsible for this latest study, he is, because he spearheaded the through the both the Fire Safe Council and the Fire Safe Focus Group, which he heads. He spearheaded the application for the Cal Fire grant, the $25,000 Cal Fire grant that Professor Neroso did his work under, and I'd like to give him, he gave him full credit for that. So unfortunately can't be here now to hear the report presented, but he's having fun. So thanks, Dave. Anyway, to move on to the context of this, first of all, I think it's important to note that this study is not an isolated study, in time. 3 years ago, as you all, I think, probably remember, Cornelius Neroso did a study, again, under the same kind of program, about what would happen if the southern part of Cambria, essentially all the areas west of Highway 1 and south of the Fiscalini Ranch, i.e. most Lodge Hill and all of Marine Terrace, had to evacuate en masse in a fire situation, which was without any organization of, areas and so forth. Under conditions of rather extreme conditions of occupancy and vehicle traffic. In other words, the assumption was that there would be basically two vehicles per household, and all the households, all the homes, residences would be occupied. So it was a worst case scenario. And as you might remember, he came up with figures that a couple of scenarios that said that the amount of time taken would be over 4 hours to get the last car out to the corner of Highway 46 and the intersection of Highway 46 and Highway 1, which was it's an alarming number, even in the context of it being a worst case scenario. Since then, he has done two more studies. Excuse me. He did a study, the same kind of modeling of how the eastern part of Cambria, in other words, everything east of Highway 1 would do in a full evacuation situation. And then most recently in this report that we're presenting today, he went back and did a study of the same area. He did a study for the first task, but also the other areas of Cambria, including Park Hill and Moonstone Beach, under different scenarios. Not just having Highway 1 there as it is now, but also having Highway 1 with two southbound lanes improvised from Ardath to Highway 46, and also having a possible second evacuation route from the south end of Cambria, from Marine Terrace, that would follow dirt tracks, basically what are now dirt tracks, across several properties, and then pick up a private road called Harmony Ranch Road and Meeting Highway 1 south of 46. So that was his study calls the beach road. He wanted to look at, we wanted him to look at scenarios as to what would happen with those other options. And the results that you can see in this report on the tables, and I think it's, I don't have your exact agenda, I think it's page 9, it's on the summary of findings of the chart, which has 7 scenarios listed. And I beg your indulgence, if I can share a screen, I think you'll have to let me share a screen. I have it up here. Hang on a second here.
Let's see. The host will have to allow you to share.
Yeah, can that be done?
I think Jim Weigold is host. Aren't you not, Jim?
Yes, but any panelist can share screen.
Oh, cool. Yeah, okay.
Let me go back here. I've got it on my screen now. Okay.
It should look like ours if he's able.
You
should see the green.
See.
Here you go.
Yep. You see the chart?
Yep. Yes, excellent.
Yeah. A little small. And this is the same thing you have, but I wanted to be able to explain what these these scenarios are. There are 2 pages of this. There are 8 scenarios in all. The first 5 are new. Those were the ones he did in this particular task. And they all have, they're all modifications essentially of evacuation routes and additions of lanes on Highway 1 and the extra evacuation route along the coast. What I wanted to point out to you is that there were a couple of insights that we got from this chart. One is that it doesn't seem to, unfortunately, the idea of adding lanes on Highway 1, and this idea has been developed where the CHP comes out with cones and they add a second lane temporarily between Ardath and Highway 46. That doesn't have as much of an effect as you'd hope, because while it makes the traffic go about twice as fast along that stretch of Highway 1, which is the bottleneck, which is where everybody goes through, getting to that stretch, getting that point is still extremely slow. And when everybody's trying to get to the same place, it's most of the problem is getting there. Once you get to that bottleneck, which they call the critical segment, it can be improved, but we still have this problem of getting to Highway 1. And that's true of, which one here? That's true of when you're, I'm going to highlight this. Yeah, when you have 2 lanes, when you're going down Lodge Hill west of Highway 1 Marine Terrace and Moonstone Beach, you'll notice that it still takes 4.8 hours to take them all out, even with the 2 southbound lanes. The other thing, though, that is interesting about this study, that having to do with the alternate route, is that it does make a difference in time, in terms of time. If you look at number 5, which is evacuating Lodge Hill west of Highway 1 and Marine Terrace using Highway 1 with 1 southbound lane and what we call the beach road. And I'll get to that in a second with some very important caveats, but with the beach road, you'll notice that the times, the hours it takes, and this is the total time down here, is less than 2 hours. And if you remember, the study that Dr. Norrison did in 2019 showed that evacuating the same area essentially on Highway 1 only would take about 4.5 hours on average. So there's a big difference. So the numbers in terms of the modeling are very encouraging. Now, here's the big caveat though. That is not an existing road. It crosses private property about 6 or 7 parcels, and it is not improved. Much of it's not improved, not drivable by passenger cars. So we have no idea at this point how much it would cost to grade and surface to make it usable. And we don't have an agreements with any of the property owners at this point for the use of the property, though in a declared emergency evacuation, technically we could have the right to use it, but of course you want to have it drivable. And we don't have sources of funds to improve it. So, and before anybody gets excited about this, all these caveats, all these hurdles have to be acknowledged. But I think the scenarios that we got from the study do make a case for having something like that and showing the need for an alternate southern route. On the second page that I have on my screen here, 6, 7, and 8 are the numbers of the scenarios. These are actually the first, the 6 is the task one that was done in 2019, showing a total time of 4.7 hours. Scenario seven is task two. That's the one for the areas east of Highway 1, which Dr. Norwood did earlier. Scenario eight is a scary looking one, which is all neighborhoods, all of Cambria, getting out all at once, with no, one southbound lane and no alternate route. It looks very bad, but we have to remember that these numbers in some ways are more useful as comparisons rather than actual numbers that would happen. Because remember, we're talking about a scenario in which every residence is occupied and all the hotel rooms are occupied. This is like the ultimate Labor Day weekend or something like that. So it's not a likely scenario. But the purpose of this, and I'm going to get off the screen now if I know how to do this. The purpose of this was, I have one more thing to show you, was to make comparisons, not to show exactly how much it would improve things, would actually happen, how bad it would actually be. I wanted to note this one chart I made, which illustrates what we're talking about with the alternate route. In that scenario, the area of the Lodge Hill and Marine Terrace you see here would be split down a line that goes along Trenton and Norwich Avenue, more or less. The people on this side, if you can see this, would go toward the highway. The people on this side, you can't see it?
Yeah, Director Gray, you need to go back to your desktop and then click, reshare so that, because it's only sharing what you, the one that you showed us before.
Oh, okay. So you sorry about that. Redo that. I've not done this before.
That's okay.
I'll stop sharing, I'll reshare. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Then we'll stop.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let me just stop this.
There you go.
Now I'm going to try to find that thing I had out here. I don't want to take up too much time here, but
okay. This is important stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where's it here? I might have to just give it to you verbally, unfortunately. Let me just give it to you verbally. I'll leave screen share.
Okay.
The idea of that alternate route, how that would be used, is that the people who live to the ocean side of, say, Trenton Avenue in Norwich, is basically Lower Lodge Hill and Marine Terrace, would take the beach route. And those who live on the other side would go to Highway 1. That's how the times would be cut, because you'd split basically that large area between the two routes. And do you have any questions? Because that's a summary. This is a preview of a report that's going to be coming out pretty soon, because we're working on an executive summary and some other incidentals. But that report will be released for the public, hopefully pretty soon. Any questions?
Excellent. Yes, Vice President Dean?
If Tom's done with his part of it, I have a little bit more information to add, if it's okay with Tom, with Director Gray.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. When you're looking at the number of vehicles on this chart, it looks like there's a lot of vehicles. But what he did is not only 2 vehicles per home and all hotel rooms full with 1 vehicle, a truck he considered as 3 vehicles, a truck and a trailer, an RV he considered two vehicles and then passenger cars as one. And that's why these totals look so high on passenger car equivalent volume. Also, he calculated that there would be 500 cars already on the road during that period of time. For example, tourists coming down from the north and traveling through on the highway. So that was figured in these totals of vehicles too. Some things that weren't figured in is something like Pine Dorado weekend, mm-hmm. where we have thousands of people here that are not staying in hotels or vacation rentals, but that are here for the day, mm-hmm. who may be here if a fire breaks out. So that hasn't been calculated in. And it also didn't take in consideration if it was dark outside and this happened in the middle of the night, you know, those types of things. We also talked a little bit about if we can't get everybody out to Highway 1, is there an alternative place for people to go until the fire cleared enough for us to get them out to Highway 1? And one of the things that we were looking at was Norris Rancho Marina, because that's a large area. It's kept grazed and it could fit quite a few vehicles there. So those are some of the other things that we're looking at. Dr. Neroso said, if it pleases the board at some point during the summer, he is willing to come and do his presentation. It would be remotely because he goes back. He's from Africa, but I can't remember exactly where.
Ghana.
Okay. That he was willing to do his presentation with all of the maps and diagrams and everything for the public if the board would like him to do so over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Chief Hollingsworth and I have kind of worked together, although he's done all of the computer work and layout and everything, on evacuation brochures for our permanent residents as well as for visitors. And if it's all right to have Chief Hollingsworth screen share these, and maybe he did such a fantastic job explaining these brochures at the Saturday event, I would love if he would do that again this time.
Yes, please. I think that's certainly worthwhile, Chief. So please, if you would.
Well, thank you for letting me be here. I don't have a whole lot to add. Both Tom and Karen have done a fantastic job at getting this information out to the community. I am bringing this up as we speak so I can try to kind of show you what we're doing. And the first thing we developed was a brochure that's designed to be able to be used for hotels, motels, Airbnbs, and VRBOs. So can I confirm that you can see that on the screen right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So this is ideally a one-page document that would go on the back of the door of a lot of these different locations, just like there's a legal requirement in hotels to be able to have something on there, a map that shows this is where you are. These are the exits for the facility. These are where emergency things are. This is additional information that is specific to Cambria, but then also specific to the visitors that come into our community. So we've limited the information to the most critical things that they would be utilizing. And this would go in as a full face document that would ideally go on the back of the door, or in an ideal, in an Airbnb situation, have it in the information booklet or something like that. But it gives you all the emergency phone numbers, a guide on the be ready, be set, be go concept of what to look at in case some of these things might happen. And then the most common emergencies that they may deal with, most commonly being the medical emergency, somebody visiting, all the way up through some kind of storm or wildfire or evacuation activity. So we've created this. We're going to hope to be working with the Realtors Association and the Chamber to be able to get this information out. But we're wanting to be able to provide this at some point for all of those visiting our community. So I'm going to stop this real quick so I can try to do this again and show you the other one that we are working on. And for some reason, it doesn't want to be up there. Oh, here we go. Okay, and is this one up there now?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so this ideally is a 8.5 by 14 inch document that is a fourfold pamphlet.
Okay.
And you can imagine everything you're seeing on this page here, where it says emergency on the left, is what the inside of the document looks like when you open it up. It has a map to give people an idea of where they would be looking, we can refine this map and put different layered information, such as arrows that might indicate the best place to evacuate, the best direction to go. If we're able to develop a safe refuge area, like Vice President Dean was indicating earlier, we can identify some of those on the map. The thing we need to be careful of when we do things like that, that means we would have to maintain it year round. If we're going to publish it that way, it has to be available that way at all times. And some of the things, if we were able to secure a southern exit out through the Rancho Marina area, the beach road, as Director Gray has indicated, is a fantastic concept. But in an acute situation, when we have a fire moving very fast, we might need to be moving people to those safe refuge areas or even evacuating them to the north temporarily while we deal with the issue and then move people around in a different way. This document captures a number of different kinds of emergencies that you might happen in the community that are really more specific to those that live here at long term. So we have the stuff that we talked about earlier that's on the visitor's document. This also includes some of the things that we don't necessarily want to talk about, but we know do happen. And those are chemical spills, active shooter situations, severe weather stuff where we might need to seek shelter for some kind of a reason. But then also when we get to the other side of this, this is the side of the page that would be folded on the outside. So you'll notice there is an entire panel off to the left that captures just about everything we can in a succinct way on the Are You Prepared category. We try to address everything we're doing in regards to the safety of the community from multiple different angles. So the evacuation ad hoc group is fantastic. It's doing a great job, and I'm pleased to be able to offer my two cents occasionally to that group. But we're also looking at all the studies from Cal Poly. We're looking at the preparedness, and this kind of document fits into that. We're looking at Zone Haven, which is the county chief's grant application we got through the Fire Safe Council for the purposes of enhancing our evacuation capabilities and training for the community. We're talking about the emergency alert system grant that we just submitted to Cal OES and FEMA, and specifically these bulletins now. The second panel over, we have open right now because Zone Haven is still pending. We're hoping to have Zone Haven in place by the end of the year, but there's going to be a lot of information specific to where you live and know your zone. That's the qualitative statement that you need to know. It's the kind of information you're going to want on the back of your refrigerator, something readily available. So if you happen to be evacuated, you know what zone you're in and you know the best ways to go out. Emergency phone numbers are listed. We have a little bit of a different focus on the be ready, be set, be go, but the concept is just the same. And then we want this to be a tool that you use, not just something that you reflect on that you might pass the refrigerator when you're getting a new glass of iced tea. This actually has an emergency checklist on it, so you can actually capture the stuff that you've already prepared and put in your go bag in your car, ready to go. And some of it is mimicked in a thought-provoking way to go back to the other panel of the Are You Prepared? You're trying to connect the dots on everything. So I think our goal here is that this is something that would become readily available to the community and potentially pushed out in a water billing for the CCSD. It would easily fit in those mailers, but we want to get this information out there and then have them readily available at the CCSD board meetings when they are resumed in person. If you want any additional clarification, I'm here for question and answers regarding the staff report or any other things that you might have questions about. But other than that, I'm over to you.
Oh, thank you, Chief. I have one brief question. You mentioned that Zone Haven would be in place by the end of the year. Do you mean the calendar year or...
That's an excellent question. Let me clarify that. They're looking at the calendar year right now. There are a number of things that are happening with Zone Haven. I encourage anybody that has any questions about it to go to zonehaven.com. It's spelled just like it sounds. It's zonehaven.com. And you can look at how this program, this online portal, looks at the dispatch and control level. And what it does is it puts all of the responding agencies on the same page in regards to what the jurisdictional boundaries are, what the zones are. It allows us to do training and information to the community all the way up to the point of ordering the evacuation, but then helps in the repopulation afterwards. It really is a fantastic platform. The company was just purchased by a larger company, and they've also just taken on much bigger clients down in Southern California, like Los Angeles County, San Diego County. So we're in the middle of all of that, and we're in the process right now of the steering committee, which I'm the representative for Cambria on, of developing those zones and working with law enforcement and making sure that we're all looking at the same thing, apples to apples. Yeah. But that would be at the end of the year, not fiscal year.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chief. Is Director Steidel and then Director Gray?
I'd like to put forward a motion.
Oh, sure.
But first, I'd like to commend directors. The Vice President Dean and Director Gray and Chief Hollingsworth Mr. Pearson, who happens not to be here today, for the commitment to address the community safety and for the creativity that they approached all of the issues here. The brochure is a tangible reminder of how much work has gone into it and how valuable the tools are that they're developing that come out of it. Unless there's any other issue, I would like to put forward a motion.
I think, yeah, go ahead with the motion, I think, yeah.
Okay, I at least had the perception that there were two different things that were being requested as part as the agenda item. The first was more staff related, where it was direct staff to proceed with the sub-application of the Cal OES for an emergency alert system for Cambria. And the other was directed back to the ad hoc committee that they asked for to ask them to continue to work with appropriate staff members and to continue the work regarding the evaluation routes and strategic exits, and for distribution of the marketing brochure, for that matter.
So so what is the motion? I'm trying to get the motion.
The motion is number one to direct staff to proceed with the sub-application to Cal OES for an emergency alert system for Cambria. And the second is to direct the existing board ad hoc committee and appropriate staff to continue their work regarding evacuation routes and exit strategies.
All right, I've got an abbreviated version.
Okay,
there.
That's fine. I tried to do it in some way, and it didn't work well.
let me go for a second, and then Chief Hollingsworth wants to speak. So, is there a second on Director Steidel's motion?
I'll second it. I'll second.
Oh, seconded by Director Gray. Yeah, please go ahead, Chief.
President Howell, just to offer clarification for yourself and the board and the community, the full sub-application to Cal OES has already been submitted. It was submitted in the back of the beginning of April, secondary to the deadline they provided. They did push it out till then, but we've already finalized it. Mm-hmm. At this point, it's been received and it's in the review process.
Okay.
So
all right. Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't recognize that, but the agenda language. So that's excellent.
So we'll take that, amend the motion to take that part off if everybody's agreeable. Okay, so now it stands just to direct the ad hoc subcommittee and appropriate staff to continue their work on studying the, basically what Director said.
Evacuation route exit strategy.
Yes. So that's the motion as it stands now. Yes, Director Gray?
Yeah, I believe that. It looks like there's a hand up in the attendees.
Yes, there is. So I just want to be sure I got you guys first.
Before we vote, maybe we should.
Oh, no, yeah, we should definitely do that. So let's go to the public. Thank you, Director Gray. Dr. Bettenhausen, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. I want to raise several issues on page 83, and this I hope will assist the ad hoc committee in their continuing work. On page 83, they include this paragraph. Note that this analysis, though assuming maximum traffic, is not able to predict the potential for other factors to impede evacuation, such as poor visibility due to smoke, nighttime conditions, or fallen trees, stalled cars, and other potential obstructions, end of quotation. I would suggest that you ask the ad hoc committee to consult with the man from Cal Poly to do some algorithms on your chart. Because if you make different assumptions, including some of these variables, you will get very, very different numbers for your evacuation time. And I think that would assist the ad hoc committee. And then eventually when they report back to you, board, that would assist you in your deliberations. I would also want to point out on page 83 that what has already been mentioned, certainly, but I want to highlight that at the bottom of the paragraph that begins one alternate route is the existing blah, blah. It is important, quote, it is important to note that at this point, public agencies have not made arrangements with the property owners for use of the route, nor have they secured funding to improve it, end of quotation. I think a major issue before the ad hoc committee should be to sketch out what kind of options you have as a board for consulting these property owners. Because last time this came up in this way, I think maybe 6-7 years ago, there was immense opposition for the property owners. So I don't think this ought to be listed simply as one of 8 options when it is not so easy to flow. I want to thank Chief Hollingsworth for pointing out something. Every single evacuation on the chart goes south. Well, it goes south, that's a little maxim for dying off, number one. So I always like to have a little mix of directions in the options for life. So why are they only going south? I can imagine that there's a huge grass fire that starts at Harmony with a southeast wind that's coming right at us and we're going to evacuate. No. You need more options, friends, imposing possible evacuations. And then my final comment is, I like the brochures. I think they organize life in a way that no politician ever can, but only people who work on the staff and some of the people who work on the staff. So I thank Chief Hollingsworth for that, certainly. But when I look at what's essential for me to organize, to get ready to pack, I look at how much that's going to cost me. As only one person now living in this house, what if you're a family of 4? And you're supposed to get all those essential items ready now, and you earn less than minimum wage? No, come on, friends. Let's face it, this is being geared toward really affluent people. So you might add to the responsibilities of your ad hoc committee that they will look into possible funding sources in Cambria for assisting people who live at a poverty wage to prepare to evacuate just like people who are more affluent can. It's that kind of economic justice question which really looms big when we get to emergency evacuations in California. And poor people barely zip out with anything at all because they've not been in an economic position to prepare in this marvelous way, which by the way, I could afford, but I haven't prepared like that. So I will print out the print screen from Chief Hollingsworth today, that section of that brochure, and I will make sure that in the foreseeable future, I prepare. That's a nice adjective that mushily floats around. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. So continuing with public comment, we have Crosby and Laura Swartz.
Good afternoon, board and everybody. I wasn't going to make any comments today, but just listening at all the information that's coming out, really appreciate everybody trying to keep us safe. We really do, because we know, that there's some potential risk by living in beautiful Cambria. What I want to say is I always look ahead at things again. And I just want to bring this up. Is that years ago, I did come up with a map based on your numbers that there's going to be 494, if the build out happens, 494 houses plus more in this area that that would be using the ARDF and the Burton evacuation. So I don't know if you've ever taken that into consideration when you've been doing some of these charts for evacuation. Think about another 500 houses in the future. The other thing, if you're going to take a trail through Rancho Marino, and I didn't realize there was a lot of other people there, there's considerable forest that way. What are you, when you're building a road through there, what are you going to do to the forest, and how wide does it have to be, and how much weed abatement are you going to have to do so no trees fall on that road? So there's a lot of things to take into consideration. I know we need to be safe, but look forward and think about those things too. And again, thank you for keeping us safe, for trying to.
Thank you, Ms. Swartz. Additional comment? I don't see any. Okay, seeing none from the public, do we have any written commentary on this, Leah?
There is none.
Oh, thank you. Back to the board then. So the motion is to direct the ad hoc committee and associated staff to continue their work on evacuation routes and certain other things that made clear. So do we have further discussion on that? I have one question. This is really probably to Jim Weigold. Is this what we're about to do? Is this the kind of direction that staff is asking for? I mean, what I'm seeing here, staff recommends board of directors discuss and consider and provide direction to staff as deemed appropriate. So is this the direction you're looking for?
I would defer to the chief on that question.
Okay, chief, I guess it's to you.
Does that mean it's going downhill or uphill? I'm not sure. I am happy to help in any regard. I believe the initial request came from the ad hoc group, specifically Director Gray and Vice President Dean, as representatives of the people that are meeting together and putting the time and effort in to make this happen. And so rather than continue to go down this road and continue to pursue things like the beach access road or working with the state on special funding to make some of those happen, or putting these brochures together, or whatever the intent may be, to make sure that we're meeting the intent of what the ad hoc group was initially developed and assigned to do. And I think collectively, that's what we're hoping is the case. Are we meeting that intent by the board? Mm-hmm. And if there's something we're missing, we need the input of the rest of you to make sure that we can address it appropriately.
Thank you. Okay, well, bearing those words in mind, fellow board members, do you have anything to add to Director Steidel's motion, bearing in mind what Chief has just told us? Yeah, I think we're good then, and hopefully this will provide the necessary guidance to go forward. So it's been moved and seconded to direct the ad hoc committee and appropriate staff to continue their work on evacuation routes. And Director Steidel, what was the other part, just so I can get it official now? So there were...
It was to evacuation routes and exit strategies.
And exit strategies, excellent. Okay, Ms. moved and seconded. Yes, Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Howell. Yeah, I just want to make sure I showed these very briefly to let people know like how large they are, spread them out. So Chief, can people pick up these brochures like at the fire station? Maybe we could have them outside and they could pick them up, that type of thing. Is that possible?
We absolutely can have some of them printed and ready. Just as a reminder, the one for the visitors is a final and it's ready to go. The other one is a draft, but I'm happy to put it out there for information until we can get the update to it from Zone Haven. In either scenario, I can have some here. We can also print a number of them and have them available at the district office for when people come in to pay bills or anything else.
Yeah, I picked these up at the event that took place last Saturday at the Vets Hall.
Ah, good. Okay.
So also... If I could just, I just want to ask one question,
sure.
Following up on something that Ms. Bettenhausen said about all of these evacuation plans head south. There must be a scenario of one type or another where it might be advantageous. Let's say something happens on the Covell Ranch, for example, where perhaps people on Park Hill could head north. I realize that, you know, that has a might not be as convenient as going south on Highway 1, but that would lessen, let's say, if people headed north, let's say from Park Hill, and then people elsewhere would head south, that might allow everyone to evacuate the area quicker. Does that make any sense at all, Chief?
Director Farmer, yes, it's a good question. I believe I understand where you're going with that. I think the easiest way to define that is this. Cambry is built in the middle of a little micro pine forest here. So any fire that occurs is going to put all of us at risk. It can happen today, and the weather patterns today are going to be significantly different than they might be 6 months from now. So it is important that we put plans in place that as a rule give us the best options for survivability and safety for the members of the community. The absolute worst time of the year for us in Cambria is the best time of year climate-wise, and that's late fall. So we're looking at end of September, October, November, when the weather and everything is beautiful, but that's when we have the northeast winds that become very dry and raise a significant concern to the community. So the evacuation planning, the direction for evacuation travel is typically defined as south. However, all of us know that that can change on a daily basis. So although this is really good planning and to have on place, what's important to remember is that you need to react and obey the directions of the person ordering the evacuation. And right now, the only two jurisdictional authorities to do that are the fire department or law enforcement based on the scenario. Mm-hmm. And that scenario then will be further clarified as to where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do. If this is something that's coming in far advance of a fire that's slowly progressing to our area, we have plenty of time to develop trigger points and tell people to go out in a certain way. If this is something that's acute and happens immediately, the most appropriate reaction might be go north, go to the beach, go to Santa Rosa Creek Road, get to the safe refuge areas that we define until we could deal with the problem to an extent that we could safely evacuate you down the road. So it's great to have plans in place, but in the fire world of wildfire and evacuations, those plans don't always work. So it's just important to be able to listen and follow the orders that you're given.
Oh, thank you, Chief. Yes, Director Seidel and then Vice President Dean.
It occurred to me also that one of the prime places to make sure some of those brochures are available is the Chamber of Commerce. Because obviously you've got people coming through there all the time and they'll probably think or go through the Chamber of Commerce before they would go to the fire department. And it would be a good resource for taking on copies.
Excellent, yes. Vice President Dean.
Okay, so once Zone Haven is in place and we have a fire, then you could tell specific zones, specific areas of Cambria, which direction to go, correct?
That is absolutely correct, Vice President Dean. Additionally, it would work very well with the emergency alert system we're trying to get in town, because once we get the information that there is an event occurring, we could push it out through Zone Haven, specifically identified those areas within the community, but then can connect that to all of the various platforms and emergency alerting to the people in town, and then through those portals define and tell them where to go and what to do. Yeah. So yes, it all works together.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Looked like Director, you had your, okay. Are we, any further debate? Questions? Okay, I think we're ready for a vote. So again, it's been moved and seconded to direct the ad hoc subcommittee of the board to and appropriate staff to continue their work on evacuation routes and evacuation strategies. So I think we're ready for the roll call, yeah?
Okay, Director Seidel?
Aye.
Director Seidel, aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Gray, aye. Vice President Dean?
Aye.
I'm sorry, Director Farmer?
Aye.
Director Farmer, aye. And President Howell.
Aye.
President Howell, aye.
Okay, we have five ayes.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Leah. Yeah, five ayes, motion passes unanimously. Very good. And thank you all for your work on that. It's been keeps me awake at night, but I can sleep a little more soundly knowing that at least somebody else is staying awake and worrying about it. Vice President Dean.
I want to thank Chief Hollingsworth for all the hard work he put in to these brochures. Yeah. While I was able to give him my opinion on what they needed to do on there, he's the one that did all the amazing computer work and laying it all out and making sure everything was there that needed to be there. And I really do appreciate all the work that he put in on this. I think it's very valuable information for this community. And I want to thank Director Gray for his expertise in getting this whole thing down on paper, because as a career journalist, he's much more capable of doing that than I was. So I want to thank him for that too. Thank you.
And I'll just throw my thanks in as well. So thank you all. For that. And I think we're ready then to move forward. We're now ready to receive, and this is 7B, receiving and filing the independent auditor's report for fiscal year 2021. I'll call for public, well, let's do the presentation first, GM Weigold, and then I'll call for public comment.
Yes, thank you, President Howell. Agenda item 7B, as you mentioned, is to receive and file the independent auditor's report for the fiscal year 2020 to 2021. Staff recommends the board receive and file the attached independent auditor's report presented by Moss, Levy, and Hartung LLP. I'd like to personally thank Alex, Tom, and his team for the outstanding work they've done. This past year, they've been thorough, fast, and very convenient to work with. I'll mention they have District Administrative Department Manager Pam Duffield also standing by to help in the presentation here.
Excellent. Thank you, GM Weigold. Well, let us commence then with some public comment, and then we'll come back to the board. So this is, I'm calling for public comment on item 7B, which is to receive and file the independent auditor's report for fiscal year 2021. Yes, Elizabeth Bettenhouse.
Thank you, President Howell. I don't know the company, but I certainly want to thank the former finance manager, Pam Duffield, now in the administrative position. I cannot offhand think of sufficient words to describe the difference between this district's finance manager work and this district's finance manager work about 5 years ago or six. So I give my hearty gratitude, because this audit was turned around not quickly, not simply because the company is good, but this appeared as it regularly should on a timeline because of the adequacy of the finance manager's work and the superlative quality of the finance manager's work, not simply adequacy. That does leave me to ask that next week, we have some report on whether there is a new finance manager, because apparently if Ms. Duffield is now listed differently on this agenda item, is she still serving two jobs? So I'd request from the general manager, Weigold, that in his report next week, he fill us in a bit on what's happening with the staff positions that, according to the website, are still vacant. I do have one question, I'm grateful for a page here, but I will raise it in 7C rather than here, because it might be pertinent in both, and I'll just wait. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Any additional public comment? Going once, going twice. Leah, do we have any written comment on this is going to be 7B?
No written comment.
Thank you, Leah. So now we're back to the board. So board members, questions, commentary, or Ms. Duffield, if you wish to make further, I'll just say one thing is I listened to the Finance Committee's review of this report, and it was extremely useful. They asked some pertinent questions, but I found that I left quite satisfied after their examination, and particularly liked your presentation Ms. Duffield, as to as you walked everybody through that. So anyway, I'm giving you the floor here. So yes, please go ahead, Pam.
I think Mr. Hom has a short presentation to give to the board. So we should allow him to do that, if that is okay.
Absolutely. He's patiently waited through all this. Mr. Hom, yes, if you would be so good to go ahead and give us your presentation. And thank you for waiting so patiently.
Well, thank you very much. Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Alex Hom. I am the principal auditor for the district, and we gave the district an unmodified clean opinion. No significant findings, little things here and there, but nothing to merit, you know, something to do with this.
Sorry.
That's okay. In terms of how the presentation of the financial statements is pretty much the same from last year. So in terms of the look and everything like that. Other than that, you know, as the public comment was saying about Pam did a fantastic job, made my life a lot easier because having clean, you know, audit clean numbers to work with and stuff, and it makes my life easier to look through everything. And you know, kudos to Pam. I'll say that. Yes, and other than that, any questions for me regarding the audit or the audit process or anything like that? I'm open for any questions.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Holm. I'll just jump in. I have you actually answered this question during the Finance Committee's meeting, but I'd like others to hear your answer as well. The issue was raised as to the ratio of our personnel costs to our other costs, if you recall that discussion that you had. And I'm wondering if you could repeat basically what you had said to the Finance Committee in that regard.
Okay. So it varies from you know, different types of government agencies, but for the most part, most agencies, the majority of their costs is personnel, because it's mainly primarily services. Like for example, a school district would have about 50 to 60% of their costs. It's all in personnel, because that's primarily that they're, you know, you're providing services. Like if you're looking at more towards, you know, a normal business, it that would definitely shift because they're selling a product. But for the most part, with these governmental districts, a vast majority of their costs are personnel. Now, within that personnel cost, it'd be different, a lot different from district to district. For the most part, it is mainly personnel.
Thank you for that. Because it often, as we're looking at these, and that's the one place people often look to say, well, gee, golly, if we didn't pay people so much, it wouldn't be costing us so much. And so I think it's important to realize that chiefly our main business is to provide service. So it's natural. But thank you for that. So do any of the board members have questions or comments for Mr. Hull? Seeing none, then I think thank you, Mr. Hom, for your excellent report. Oh, here comes yes, Director Farmer.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment and kudos to Mr. Hom and his crew. Not that I'm there, finance is not my area of expertise, but I know how much easier it's been for both Pam and Mr. Hom working together compared to, as Ms. Bettenhausen pointed out, what occurred here in the past. So kudos to both sides for at least allowing members of the community to feel more comfortable about some areas of district responsibility that is going as well as possible. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Any additional comments from our fellow board members here? Well, on behalf of the board, Ms. Duffield, Mr. Hom, thank you so much for your work, and we really appreciate it. I will say that I read the audit report from cover to cover. I perhaps understood half of it, but...
I'm surprised you made it through the whole thing.
I can't put you to sleep.
Well, the presentation was actually very clear, you know, as I was studying through, so I just liked the report. Anyway, so thank you all. Thank you very much. And I think then we're ready for the next item, which is 7C. And this is discussion and consideration to adopt resolution 28-2022, directing staff to proceed with planning for the issuance of certain obligations to finance the 2022 infrastructure project and engage a financing team in connection therewith. So again, I'll start with the presentation by GM Weigold, followed by public comment, and then by board discussion. So yes, GM Weigold, you have the floor.
Thank you, President Howell. Agenda item 7C is discussion and consideration to adopt resolution 28-2022, directing staff to proceed with planning for the issuance of certain obligations to finance the 2022 infrastructure projects and engage a financing team in connection therewith. Staff recommends that the board discuss and consider this resolution and authorize me to enter the agreements with the financing team in connection therewith and proceed with planning. There currently is no financial impact for engaging the finance team. The way this works is that all fees and payments come out of the financing itself. So we don't physically send a check to any of those consultants and finance planners. As I mentioned in the report, we basically have about $12 million in sewer funds or sewer fund projects that need to be financed. And we have about $4 million or so on the water side. But the water side projects will likely all be financed through bank financing and or lease arrangements with the companies such as the water meter companies. The sewer fund projects are largely right now going to go through a bond issue that's handled through an underwriter. And of course, the two other components for this are our financial advisor through Bartle and Wells, and then our legal counsel for the bond and disclosure and legal services through Kudak Rock LLP. Now, all these groups are of consultants are arranged through CSDA Finance as a group. So, however, what we need to do is engage them individually to go ahead with planning for this process. Now, the bond offering process basically takes about a 3-month period. So starting now, we would come back to the board in June with to adopt another resolution and some review some other disclosures and legal documents. And then that would allow the finance team to proceed with the to begin the bond marketing process. And that proceeds on a timeline right now through the month of July. Mm-hmm. And so we would have a closing at the end of July, early August, just for a rough time frame table.
Okay. Go ahead.
That concludes my presentation. This is a fairly straightforward, engage the consultants so we can proceed with the planning on all of this and enable to come back. There's no obligation for any of this. So in other words, if financing doesn't go through, we owe nothing to anyone. It's, everything is contingent on closing financing.
Okay. Thank you, GM Weigold. Let me see, board members. If it's just for clarification, we could take yours now. But otherwise, I'll go to the public first and then come back to you. Okay. Director Farmer, is it just for clarification, or because I'll come back to you if you want to speak.
My apologies. And my hands up. However, and I don't want to make this awkward, but you quickly moved on to this item, and I realized I still had something to say about the previous item.
But shut up, Harry.
So I'm probably a little bit not able to do that.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, Director Farmer, after we finish this item, let me come back and get what you had to say, because if I missed you, I'm sorry.
Okay. I should have been more authoritative instead. Well, I have one more item to say, so thank you.
Okay, so I'm making a note here to come back to you. Okay, so let me go to the public, and then we'll come back to this item. And once we're done with that, then I'll give the floor to you, Director Farmer, so you can make your comment that we skipped over. So members of the public, this is your chance now, and Crosby and Laura Swartz coming first, followed by Christine Heinrichs.
Good afternoon, President Howell and members of the board. Please consider the following comments as you proceed with funding options for the wastewater capital projects. The agenda package for this item mentions a $12 million 30-year bond sale. Shorter-term financing would be less costly and would be more appropriate for new equipment and installations with a useful life of less than 30 years. The proposed rate increases will increase the revenue stream for wastewater capital projects to more than $1 million a year. Many of the capital projects should be paid for out of these revenues, scheduled on a pay-as-you-go basis. The amount of bond financing should be the minimum necessary for the higher cost projects, such as the lift station improvements. A rough estimate of the necessary financing is around $6 million. There are substantial cost savings available to the district and its customers by reducing the dollar amount of the financing to $6 million and the term of the financing to no more than 20 years. Thank you for considering these comments. I did submit a written comment that I'd like to have included in the record for this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Swartz. Okay, so yeah, Leo, I saw, Leo, we have his comments that he sent to us. So if those will be included in the minutes, that would be great. Okay, coming up now, Christine Heinrichs next, followed by Elizabeth Bettenhausen.
Well, that's why I submit them in writing.
Whoops.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Swartz, for those comments. I certainly endorse that. The brevity of this item reminds me of the streamlined process a previous board took to put the district $9 million in debt for the EWS. Watching that August 4th, 2014 board meeting can be helpful in reflecting on this plan to add more debt to Cambria's finances. It's available on SlowSpan. Check through the archives, and I will also send this in my printed comments. This time is 30-year financing for improvements that mostly will last 20 years or less. The district will carry debt for longer than the improvements will last. The district should consider closing down the EWS to reduce expenditures on that to a minimum, then prioritize and evaluate upgrades and repairs rather than do them all at once. It's impossible to do them all at once anyway. Piling more millions in debt on Cambria should be a last choice. The rationale for the water and sewer rate increase is not to provide money to do these improvements, it's to provide enough revenue to convince lenders to finance this debt. Surely there's better ways to manage money and get Cambria's vital services into good shape. I ask that you direct this team to bring alternative financing plans to the board for consideration, rather than taking the fast track to closing on funding in a few short months. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Okay, it'll be Dr. Bettenhausen now. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you very much, President Howell. The item to which I mentioned in the audit report is the loan section that begins on page 121. You don't need to go look at that right now. I did a quick tally of all the loans that are outstanding at the moment, and that comes to $958,057. So almost $10 million we have now outstanding in loans. And I ask you to instruct, if you go through with the recommendation as it's posed here, I ask you to instruct the general manager that this be taken into account in any negotiations and conversations with the consultants that you're about to hire to figure out how to take out $16 million more in bonds and loans. In other words, you are asking us now as the citizens of Cambria to get ready to owe approximately $25 million in various forms of bonds and loans over the next period of years. And I don't like the defense that's often given, well, you don't have to pay them because you're alive now, but you'll be dead by the time the second half of the payment period. No, no. I look at this always as the comprehensive long-term picture, not simply who's alive today and paying the rates. I ask you, please, to take a careful look at what you are agreeing to do. You are, quote, authorizing the general manager to enter into agreements with the financing team in connection with these issues. You did that in dear directors, you are far above and beyond what happened in the 2014. But the directors in 2014 handed over authority to the general manager without any specificity as to what the project even was. In January of 2014, we did not even have a description of that project. And you know as well as I do, because you pay much more attention to these details, elected officials, than I do, you know what happened with this district when that authority was handed over and subsequently was not overseen adequately. Now you are asking the general manager to enter into legal agreements with people to fund 12, let's just say $12 million up for the sewer. You have never taken action, so far as I know, you have never taken action officially asking that these projects be pursued. You have always had a clump of capital improvement projects in the descriptions before you on agendas. And I attended the resources and infrastructure meeting the other day. I did. And it's not as edifying for the public to do all these meetings. I want to say one more thing, even if my 3 minutes is up.
Okay, please go ahead.
An ad hoc committee was appointed at that meeting to do what? They volunteered to set up the criteria by which capital improvements would be listed for their priorities. In other words, we're going to fund $16 million and we don't even have a set of criteria by which the priorities of the capital improvements will be selected. No, friends, thank you for the extra half a minute, because it's just so important to ask you to think more carefully about the authority you're handing over. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Okay, we're back to the board now. I see no further public comment. Vice President Dean.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe the board approved moving forward with the projects from the IGA, the $7.5 million for the wastewater treatment plant and the $4.5 million for the other projects that total the $12 million. The board did vote to move ahead with those specific projects, hence the need for this $12 million loan. Am I correct?
Yes, that's my understanding. I see my fellow board members are all nodding their heads, and so is council. So I think we can say that, yes, we had discussed and we do know what those projects are.
We did review the projects and we did vote that those are the projects we are going to do with this financing.
That is my understanding.
Thank you.
Director Gray.
Thank you, President Howell. This is to sort of clarify something, maybe, and maybe confirm something in my mind, because comments were made about the supposed inadvisability of you doing a 30-year funding. But my understanding from what I read here is that is an option under consideration, because one of the things, of course, we're trying to do with the consultants to develop a financing package is decide whether the 30 years is best. And I assume it's not set in stone that it would be what kind of bond it would be either. Maybe General Manager Weigel can clarify that. There are certain things that have yet to be decided through this consulting process, correct?
Jim Weigel, could you answer that?
Yes, Director Gray, you're spot on. The purpose of engaging the consultants right now is to help us work through the financing process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Jim Weigel. Any additional questions, commentary, or anything? Okay, the only thing I would just throw out, just as and the discussions that I had heard, is that the bonds we're speaking of here are revenue bonds. So that's an important consideration. In other words, we are not using any of our property as collateral. It's strictly the revenue. So this is not like the loan for the WRF. It has an entirely different structure, entirely different collateral. They're not even the same animal. Okay, let's see. I saw Director Farmer first, and then Director Gray.
I believe in speaking a couple of days ago with General Manager Weigold, he told me that, by the way, that this process with regard to these three consultants, it would take about 2.5 to 3 months to come to a conclusion as to if, in fact, we can actually move forward with getting this bond. And that we would first need to get our credit rating from Standard & Poor's. And it would be interesting to know what type of credit rating we have as a district. And I just wanted to go back, if nobody minds, to the previous item with Ms. Bettenhausen also alluded to with regard to the loans that we still have payable. And it is interesting, the one for the that was approved back in August of 2014, the loan that we have for the facility on San Simeon Creek Road. It states here so far that we have paid just under $9 million so far, and that we still owe just under $9 million on this particular project out there. I'd be curious to know how that affects our bond, our rating with Standard & Poor's. It's also interesting, by the way, you know, we have another loan that's almost finished with City National Bank with regard to refinancing the 1999 installment purchase agreement with the California Statewide Communities Development Authority. I would just be curious, nobody needs to explain it right now. I'd be curious to know what that was, since that was also a little over a 20-year loan. But with regard to the one that we have, with regard to the facility on San Simeon Creek Road, I just want to read what it says here. On August 7th, I believe it was the 4th actually, the district entered into a loan agreement with TBP Investments for $8,939,000 with an interest rate of 4.11 to finance improvements to the water system. That's an interesting definition of this facility, improvements to the water system. I wonder, asking folks 8 years after we signed this agreement, if we actually have improvements to the water system with regard to this facility. So we still owe a lot of money on this. And yet the idea of entering into a lengthy bond agreement for, we certainly need the improvements at wastewater, entering into a lengthy bond agreement versus, I believe, as Mr. Swartz stated, perhaps accumulating certain funds and then addressing certain projects as we go along as to a long-term debt or a shorter debt might be a better idea. So that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Let's try to restrict ourselves to the item here, which is to allow staff to enter into an agreement with these consultants. So we're not discussing the actual details of the financing at this point, only the agreement. So I'd like to try to keep the discussion focused on that. Yes, Director Gray.
Yeah, I could like to make a motion if that's...
Please do.
Yeah, just before I do, though, I want to point out, in light of some of the previous discussion, the financing is all out of the wastewater fund. So it's not a fake. If there's a credit rating issue or a credit rating change or something from Standard & Poor's, it will be dealing with specifically the amount, the revenue that would be supporting this loan, which would be from wastewater, not from water, not from WRF. So that's a good point. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's
correct.
Yes. So I'd like to move that we adopt resolution 28-2022, directing staff to proceed with planning for the issuance of certain obligations to finance the 2022 infrastructure projects and engage a financing team in connection therewith.
Okay, and is that a second, Vice President Dean? Yeah. Okay, moved and seconded. So now we're ready for discussion again on the motion. And the motion, now remember, let's focus on that, is whether or not to engage this financing, this team, to direct staff to engage these consultants. So, okay, Director Farmer, your hand is up.
I actually meant to lower it, but since you're calling on me, I'd be curious, and I think you've brought this up in the past, President Howell, even before you were president, that you would have difficulty entering into an agreement without a contract that helped us understand how much we'd actually be paying. And I know that, I believe that General Manager Weigel stated earlier that if we don't move forward with this, we don't owe these folks anything, the bond underwriter, the bond and disclosure council, and the municipal advisor. But since this is going to take a certain amount of time, I would just be curious to get an approximate amount as to how much we will ultimately owe these folks for their services, if that's possible. It seems like a logical question to ask.
It's, if I may jump in, it's a logical question, but I'm not sure whether it's possible to answer it. Let's hold that thought for a minute. Let's hear from Director Gray, and then let's come back to that if we need to.
I didn't mean to have my hand up.
Oh, oops. Okay. Okay. As to the possible cost of these consultants, because since we're not really, all we are asking is that we direct staff to proceed with planning for the issuance. Mm-hmm. I guess, Director Farmer, it is a legitimate question, but I'm not sure if it can be answered at this point. Jim Weigold, can you offer us any clarity on that?
Yes, the approximate costs, legal fees are going to depend on obviously a lot of the time, but they're going to be approximately $75,000. The underwriting fees, I don't have a solid, there's even more, a little more play because it's market, a little bit of market driven with rates, but we can think about that as somewhere around around $100,000. And then fees for Bartle Wells, are probably going to be in the 35 to 50,000 range. Could be a little less.
So we're looking at about 200,000 plus or minus, I think.
Yes.
Director Farmer, does that kind of help to give you some clarity?
Yeah, that's much appreciated. Thank you.
Okay, so is there any further debate on this? Okay, seeing none, I believe we're ready for the question. So I'll just repeat it again. It's been moved and seconded to direct staff to proceed with, to adopt resolution 28-2022, directing staff to proceed with planning for the issuance of certain obligations to finance the 2022 infrastructure projects and engage a financing team in connection therewith. So we're ready for the roll call, Leah.
Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Gray? Aye. Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Dean? Aye. Director Steidel?
Aye.
Director Steidel? Aye. Director Farmer?
I'm afraid I'm going to have to vote no right now. Thank you.
Vice President Dean?
Oh, so we already got there.
I already voted, thank you.
I'm sorry. Yes, you did. And President Howell?
Aye.
President Howell, aye.
Okay. Four ayes. Excuse me, yeah. Four ayes and one nay. Motion passes with Director Farmer in dissent. Okay, I think we are now ready. Go ahead, Vice President Dean, go ahead.
May I have a 3-minute break, please?
Certainly. 3 minutes, that would bring us back at, why don't we make it, so we have a nice even number, how about 6 minutes?
325.
Okay. Thank you. I know we're close, getting closer to 4 o'clock, but we have a lot left to discuss on this
issue. Right. Well, we'll see what we do here. So, yeah. So come back at, what did we just say? 325. Okay. We'll be in recess till 325.
Buffy.